All right. We're going to start off on our Sunday school topic today in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Let's back up again to verse 4. He says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And let's pray. Lord, as we take a few minutes today to study your word, I pray that you would help us open our eyes, help us to understand, help us to apply. Help us, Lord, to take the things that we learn in this book here and actually put them into our lives so that they would make us better and more conformed to your image. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed you in our thoughts and in our actions. And help us, Lord, to take these few minutes and take our minds away from all the responsibilities and the cares and the affairs of this life. And help us, Lord, to think about what you have for us. And I pray that it be a profitable time. Bless the other Sunday school classes as they're meeting. And we pray that you would be with the preaching hour to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I was looking at that this week, and of course there's I've been looking at different topics. And I guess if there's a common thread and a theme to what I've been thinking about so far this month as far as Sunday school lessons, it's some of those things that Christianity has in it that we have as part of our spiritual life, as part of our spiritual discipline, that the world also longs after. Last week we talked about patience, and I know it wasn't anywhere near an exhaustive subject. It was just some of the things that I'd been thinking about in terms of patience. But I was really astounded at how much the world is after patience, just like we're after patience and after some of these other things. And in this passage right here, he talks about in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And then he lists a bunch of things. He lists patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, and then some of the experiences that they had in stripes, when Paul was beaten, in imprisonments. He approved himself as a minister of God when he was imprisoned and the way that he acted in tumults, in the middle of the riots that he and his co-laborers caused in many cases, in labors, all of the work that he spent building the church, in watchings, the nights that he spent laying awake and praying and losing out on sleep and on other things because he was praying so diligently. And then he says there, in fastings. I don't want to go through the whole list. I just want to take that particular word right there and kind of do a little Bible study on it. Paul seems to incorporate this not only in this passage right here, but in other passages in the Bible. We find that Paul was a man who fasted, and he fasted often. And as we're looking through that list, as I was reading through it, I was struck by the fact that, this is something that the world also in many cases seeks after. Christians are not the only ones in the world that fast. There are a lot of people that fast. In fact, when I was growing up in the Catholic Church taught me how to fast, and every Friday we fasted from meat, And I hear now that you're able to eat meat on Fridays, that you don't have to eat fish. But I know that for many years, and she might even still do it, my mother-in-law cooks fish on Friday nights, and she's a born-again Christian. And it's not because she's following, the dictates of the Catholic Church. It's because it becomes so ingrained in you, it becomes so much a part of you, you know, that man, just, you ain't going to eat no fish on Friday. I mean, you ain't going to eat no meat on Friday. Just eat fish. And so they fast. They withhold themselves from that. And you find that the Muslims, they take an entire month to fast. And of course, you can look, and it's kind of a quasi-fast, because it's only fasting from sun up to sundown. And then after that, it's feasting, you know. So as long as you don't eat during the day, but you can eat as much as you want at night. You know, and many, many religions also, they incorporate some kind of fasting or withholding of pleasure during the month of Lent, you know. And this is popular with people that aren't even really religious, you know. They want to withhold something and quit drinking beer during Lent or something like that. We had a couple that used to come to this church, and they hadn't been in church for years, and we asked them why they hadn't been in church in a long time, because they were obviously Christians. And they said, well, we were in a church, and they said that for Lent we want you to give up that which is most dear and precious to you. And they said, well, there's nothing more dear and precious to us than coming to church. So they gave it up for Lent and didn't come back for 3 years, you know. You know, it's funny, the things that the world sees, they see the wisdom in fasting. They see benefit in fasting. You can find people that are not even religious, because Muslims are religious and Catholics are religious and Christians, you know, for many cases are religious. And so you find a lot of this religious stuff, you know, but you find people that aren't even religious at all. You know, they don't have any kind of sense of morality, and yet they long after fasting too. Just go by and pick up any Woman's Day or Woman's Night or whatever those magazines are, and you're going to find in every article, my wife got a free subscription to, I think it was Woman's Day, you know, and so there's a bunch of them sitting in the bathroom, you know, in the little thing right next to my magazines. And I picked them up, and I noticed a common theme. Every cover had something to do with fasting. You know, the grapefruit fast, you know, this kind of fast. And what are they doing it for? They're doing it to lose weight, you know. The world, they want to do this in order to have some sort of a benefit. And Hollywood, man, the fasts are very popular. There's all kinds of popular fasts. And my opinion is they need to stop fasting, because you look at all these models, you know, that are on the TV, and they all have this really sour, pouty look on their face, you know. I mean, not that I'm looking at a lot of pictures of the models, but just some of the ones that I have seen. I've noticed that none of them are smiling, you know. They all got this, you know, if all you had to eat all day was lettuce and a little slice of tomato, you'd be pouty too, you know. I'd say, man, they'd be a lot happier if they put some weight on them and got some, and stopped the fasting. But they like to fast, you know, and many times we think, okay, you know, and the question is asked a lot of times, should a Christian fast? You know, is it still biblical for us to fast, you know? And so I just want to talk a little bit about fasting today and how it fits in with Scripture, and not only that, but maybe some of the principles that come of thinking about this. One of the things that we see, or that we don't see actually, that's actually absent in Scripture, is this idea of fasting for healthy benefit. You know, I don't know if there's been a generation that has been so in tune, so clued in to physical health like this present generation. You know, I don't think any other generation has known as much about human nutrition, you know, about the way that vitamins work in the body, and about, you know, how different things affect not only your physical being, but your mental well-being. You know, you eat certain foods and it affects you not only physically, but mentally. You know, we as a society, we are very in tune with the fact, and especially those of you that have diseases like diabetes and other things that rely on good health. You know, if you can somehow eat well, you know, you might be able to stave off taking insulin for a while. And so, you know, I don't know that there's been a generation that has been so geared in, so clued into physical health as we've been. And we've got gyms on every corner. You know, you've got gyms for women, you've got gyms for men, you've got gyms for weightlifters, you've got gyms for, you know, people that don't like to work out. You know, you've got gyms for just about everybody, you know. I remember Michael telling about that guy that went around 3 or 4 times in the parking lot trying to get a spot at the front of the gym, you know, so he could go in and work out. We're We are obsessed with that kind of stuff. You know, we're obsessed with exercise, you know, and oh man, I hate to do it, but I got to go get myself on the treadmill, you know, and yet in the Bible, when it talks about fasting, there's almost nothing said about it in connection with health. Isn't that amazing? People in the Bible didn't fast because they wanted to lose 10 pounds for the summer season, you know? You don't find that in the Scriptures. You don't find that of the members of the church in the New Testament that fasted. You didn't find Paul lamenting and saying, oh man, if I could only lose 20 pounds, you know, I'd be perfect. You know, either that or this was just information that we, you know, that maybe it wasn't important so it wasn't put in there. But there was hardly anybody that I found, and I say hardly because, you know, I want to make sure that in case there was some, you know, that I don't make a dogmatic statement on that. But I haven't found any, you know, that were so interested in their own health that that's why they fasted. And so I don't think it's the main reason for a Christian fasting, because remember, we're talking about the same thing that the world is wanting to do, and that's fasting, you know, that in some cases dieting, you know. We don't want to do it for the same reasons, or if it's something that's in the Bible, there must be a different reason why they do it in the Bible as opposed to why people in the world do it. And so, health and diet is not the main thing. I don't remember where I saw the book. It might have been, I don't remember where I saw it. Somebody had gotten the book and I started reading it, and it was a book called What Would Jesus Eat? And I thought it was very interesting, an interesting title, so I looked in it, and it started talking about things like fish and lentils, you know, like somehow this was spiritual food, that this was it, man. If you eat fish and lentils, and I have no doubt, you know, if you eat fish and lentils, you'll probably be a whole lot healthier than somebody who eats Cheetos and hot dogs, I guarantee. But as if, you know, out of all the food in the world, this was the food that Jesus Christ picked and ate, and therefore there's somehow, if we eat the same foods that he eat, we'd be more spiritual. I'm not so sure that that's the reason why. I think it's because, you know, that's what they ate at that time. Try finding a hot dog in first century Jerusalem. You probably wouldn't find one, you know? You know what they had? They had fish, and they had lentils, and they had stuff like that, and so that's what Jesus Christ ate. I think if he were on this earth today, he'd probably eat whatever the common foods of the day were, you know? I don't think a particular food will make you either more or less spiritual. I don't think it's the food. I don't think that that's the issue. You know, the fact that somehow we could go back to biblical foods and eat these biblical foods, and somehow it's going to bring us closer to God, and it's going to make us more healthy and more spiritually vibrant. You know, I think that may be a kind of a self-centered way to do it. In fact, if you look in the book of Matthew, he gives a real warning here. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 16, he says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Okay, we've got a warning here when it comes to fasting. It says, when you fast, and he's talking to his people here, he says, don't do it like the hypocrites do. They took this whole spiritual discipline or physical discipline or whatever you want to call it, of fasting, and did it to such a point as to attract the attention of other people so that other people would notice what it was that they were doing. You know, it's very self-centered. What they were after, and you look in this passage and you look at some of the other things after, they were after the praise of men. And you know something? If you go after the praise of men and you get the praise of men, then Jesus says you've already got your reward. You got what you were going after. You decided to be spiritual so that you could do something that somebody else could see, and so somebody else could compliment you on how spiritual you were, how dedicated to the Lord you were, how incredibly insightful you were, whatever it is. He says you've already got your reward. He says, but if you fast and you wash your face and you put on clean clothes, because I think back in that day when they fasted, one of the customs was that you not only fasted, but you withheld yourself from bathing and from anything else too. And it was very obvious when some of these hypocrites fasted exactly what they were doing. And So he says, you wash your face. He says, you put on clean clothes. You don't sit there and go moping around and telling everybody, oh, I'm fasting today. I don't think that it's a case where you're not allowed to tell anybody. You know, if you're fasting and then somebody after church on Sunday morning says, hey, come on out and eat. And you say, no, I don't really want to. And, oh, you don't want to come out? You know, and they press you. Just say, no, I'm fasting. And then just leave it simple. I don't think that you're not allowed to tell anybody. But the thing is you don't do a spiritual exercise in order to show everybody else how spiritual you are. This is not a pride deal, you know. This is not a deal where it's the same. If you're doing it that way, if you're doing it for that reason, then you're doing the same thing that the people in the world are doing, because they got all these things and all these diets. And what are they so concerned about? They're so concerned with how other men see them. In the Bible, the physical is almost always downplayed. There's a verse in the Bible that says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And I remember Joe Benedetti preached a sermon once, and he said, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. But bodily exercise does profit a little. And he says, you ought to get a little bit of it in, and he's probably got a good point there. But the thing is with spiritual things, it's not the physical that's the focal point. We're never focused on the physical, because let me tell you something about the physical. It's here one day and it's gone tomorrow. You can trust yourself in physical things all you want to, but you're going to find out. You're going to find out that everything has a flash point and everything burns. Whose car was that? Is that your car, John? Is that your sunshield on there? Go look at John's sunshield on his car, not to embarrass him or anything, but he's got these flames on it, you know? And it's not for the reason that the world has flames on theirs. He wants to remind himself that that car is flammable. You know, that's good. I like that. Well, we like to worship the physical. Man, we're so tied to the physical. Even when we're trying to do something that the Bible says, like fasting, we put all this other stuff in it, you know, And if you're fasting because you want to look good in a bikini over the summer, you know, that's not a spiritual reason to fast. If you're fasting because you want other people to pay attention to you, then that's not a good reason to fast. There are some people in the Bible that fasted, but you find that the people that were truly seeking after God, they weren't flaunting it before men. In fact, their big thing was not necessarily that other men would think well of them. You know, they were trying to impress somebody else. How would your life change if you stopped trying to impress your neighbor and you started trying to impress God? Amen. I'm telling you, it's easy to impress people. Oh, you can impress anybody for a short period of time. You know, you can put on a face and you can make anybody think, wow, you know, for a little period of time, and especially if you can lie good, you know, you can really impress somebody for a little while. But try impressing the God of the universe. Men have tried to impress God. They've gone up before Him and put their idols and say, Lord, look what we made, look what we did, and present the works of their hands. And God that created the universe is not necessarily impressed with the things that we make out of our hands. You know, it's a different thing. He says, when you fast, He says, you do it in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret, He's going to reward you openly. I'll tell you, it tells me something about fasting, that there is a reward in there somewhere. Look at Luke in chapter 18 and verse 12. Luke chapter 18 and verse 12. This is in the middle of a story of the Pharisee and the publican, and they're both in the temple to pray. And there's a reason for the story, and I'll explain the story in a minute. But this comes out of the mouth of the Pharisee as he's praying to the Lord. He says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And that's his prayer to God. Part of it anyway. The fact that he's reminding the Lord that he fasts twice in the week. That somehow that's going to give him points with God. And we have this mentality that there is something that we can do in order to gain God's favor. One of the things we find out in Scripture is if anybody has any favor from God, it's by grace through faith, and it doesn't include any works. Just about every religion in the world that's outside of Christianity has this common theme that you have to work to impress God. And if God's impressed, you get into heaven. If you didn't work good enough, or you weren't good enough, or you didn't be good enough, then you weren't somehow in heaven. But as a ritual, one of the things we find, he set this thing up as a ritual. And one of the things you see with the Pharisee is his life was in order. I mean, his life was, he had this right here, and he had this set up right here, and that Pharisee was very disciplined, but physical discipline doesn't get you favor with God, and physical discipline in and of itself doesn't save your soul. You can't fast and expect God to save you because you suffered, or because you fasted, or because you obeyed. We get saved because Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for a bunch of wicked sinners. And that's you and me. He says, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there's no merits we have for salvation. There's nothing we can offer up to God that God says, oh man, that's it. That's why I saved him. Because he did this right here. No, we get saved by grace. There's no rituals involved in here. You know, and that's one of the things that the world has the idea of salvation, you know. And it's this idea that somehow I can gain favor from God. And I found it many times in my own religion that those in the religion that I grew up with that seemed to have the highest esteem were those that had this tremendous discipline that could set themselves apart from other people and spend all day and night fasting and praying and seeking God. But you find out you can do all those things. You can be a Pharisee. And let me tell you, I'm not going to knock the Pharisees in one regard. That the Pharisees, at least in the outward, were pretty moral people. Sometimes we knock Phariseeism, you know, and we knock this idea of spiritual discipline. The truth is that we could all use probably a little more spiritual discipline. You know, I'm kind of like a pendulum in my spiritual life, you know, and I know you're real steady and you're real solid and you never experienced this, but I know I have. And I'm like a pendulum. For a while, you know, I'll be very disciplined, you know, where I'll have everything all set up, you know, and I'm going good and I'm doing well and I'm dotting all the I's and I'm crossing all the T's and I'm reading when I'm supposed to read and I'm praying when I'm supposed to pray. And then there were other times where, you know, because of all of the discipline, I either get bored or rote. I know you never get bored with spiritual things, but I get bored sometimes, and I'll just be honest. And so I start getting bored with what I'm doing, and so I change. And I said, you know what, I'm going to, you know, instead of having this ritual right here, I'm going to change and do something else. And then I'll go kind of in the other extreme. And I'll be so relaxed and so free, you know, praying whenever I want to pray and reading whenever I want to read. And I find out that if I keep that up too long, then I don't really want to read all the time, and I don't really want to pray all the time, and then I'm waiting for the feeling to come over me, and the feeling doesn't come over me, so then I start losing out on spiritual blessings. There's probably a balance in there somewhere. But if you're using fasting as a way to get God's attention, you're probably going to end up failing. In the Bible, they fasted and prayed for a lot of reasons. But there were also a lot of people that fasted and did not get God's attention. The priests of Baal fasted, didn't get God's attention. There were other people in the Bible that fasted. David one time fasted for his child and God didn't answer his prayer. You know, sometimes you can fast and not get your prayer answered. As if somehow the act of fasting requires God to move in your behalf. No, we don't hold God hostage by what we do with our bodies. It's not that at all. In fact, if you look at Isaiah in chapter 58, you're going to find that the act of fasting in and of itself doesn't mean anything to God. Now, I want to qualify that. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. I'm sorry. Yes, that's right, 58. It's okay. Just turn back to 58. Isaiah chapter 58, he says in verse 3, Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voices to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? See, he's tearing apart the way that they fasted. They were fasting. They were afflicting their souls, but it wasn't for the reasons that God wanted them to do. And so because there was a different attitude in their fasting, or there was a different reason for them fasting, the fasting in and of itself didn't impress God at all, and it didn't touch him. He says, this a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, when thou seest the naked, and thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? You know, he's setting a difference between what he considers to be a profitable fast, a time when you withhold food and pleasure from yourself, and what they were doing. Somehow, maybe I thought it was in their mind that they thought just because they fasted, it was enough to get God's attention. But one thing you'll find is you'll find that there's usually something connected with fasting. So if you're going to fast, if you're going to incorporate fasting into your life, it's not just for the sake of fasting. If you want to withhold food from your body for a week in order to lose 5 pounds, you know, just as long as you admit that that's why you're doing it, and it's nothing spiritual, you're just doing it for your own body, that's fine. But if you're going to do something in order to get some spiritual impact out of it, one of the things we find in Scripture is fasting is associated almost all the time with prayer. Prayer and fasting. They fasted and they prayed over there in the book of Acts with Peter. So these two things go together. Now, to me, I'm not so sure exactly why those things are linked together. Because it's almost an Eastern philosophy. And I used to study Eastern religion and getting into your inner self, you know, and finding your Krishna conscious and all that kind of stuff. And really very, very, very self-centered type religion. But Eastern religion teaches you that you can elevate yourself to a higher spiritual principle by the kind of diet that you eat, by repeating a certain mantra over and over again, repeating certain phrases, by sitting in a particular position and unloading your mind and all this kind of stuff. And that you can actually elevate yourself to a higher spiritual state because of it. And of course, it's a bunch of garbage because you can't elevate yourself into any higher state. I'm going to tell you how you elevate yourself to a higher state. You open the book and you read it.
Amen.
And you let the words get down into your soul.
Amen.
Until they burn in you. Until they force you and they drive you to your knees in repentance and confession and devotion and encouragement and strength. That's how you transform the renewing of your mind. You don't do it by the food that you eat or the things that you do. You don't do it by getting into a certain position. My son told me that they get all these kids ready for the tox test. You know, they brought a yoga teacher into my school to teach the kids meditation techniques. And I thought, man, that's crazy. But that's natural for them. It's what they think, you know, that yoga is going to help all these kids passing. I think studying would probably do more, but, you know, what do I know? I'm not educated, so I wouldn't know. I guess yoga is better than studying. But it's this mindset. And so, spirituality cannot be achieved by fasting by itself. It's got to be associated with something else. But then here's the clincher. I don't know if any of you have ever fasted before, but I fasted sometimes short periods, sometimes long periods. I know Lindell says he's gone, 14 days, I don't know, bread and water, something like that. To me, you know, I'd be home with the Lord if I went 14 days without food. I don't have those reserves, you know, to be able to do it. I went 3 days one time. No offense, no, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not saying. It's genetics. Don't leave the church, Lindell. Yeah. You'll be the first in line to Luby's, too. All right. Okay. Ready for my next statement? Forgot entirely what it was. Thank you very much. But it's when you have something else that's connected to the fasting, then that's what makes it, and oh, I know what my point was now, what I was trying to get to, is this idea of doing something to elevate yourself to a higher principle. When I fasted for 3 days, let me tell you something, skipping the breakfast wasn't too bad because I just drank extra thick coffee to make up for it, and so it wasn't too bad, but by lunchtime, and I worked a full schedule, I was a trucker at the time, And I was doing local delivery, so I had to unload everything, and so I had 2 trailers a day that I completely unloaded in and around town. And so the first day it wasn't too bad. I was hungry and this and that, but you know it was all right. And I was kind of spending the time praying a little bit. And that night, you know, I didn't have anything going on, so I went back to my apartment by myself, and that was a little tough, you know. But I made it through, you know, and I did all right. And the next morning and the second day, I'm telling you, by the third day, there was no elevation. There was no ascending up into Beulah land, you know, and all that kind of stuff. There was, in fact, my temptations were stronger than they were before. My temptation to eat was stronger. In fact, my temptations in other areas was also heightened and stronger, and I felt weaker in order to be able to resist other things. And you think, okay, if fasting is this thing that elevates you to some spiritual height, you know, where is it? I didn't find it. I was angry. I was irritable. I was hungry, you know, and all I wanted to do was eat. And so on the third day, I planned on going 5 days. On the third day, I said, this is crazy. I'm going home. And I went home and I ate. And I broke my fast. And I tell you something, that one time really taught me something. It taught me that this is an Eastern mysticism here. That it's not the act of fasting. In fact, not only prayer is associated with fasting, but in the scriptures you're going to find there's another thing associated with fasting, and it's humility. Sackcloth and ashes. There were times in the Bible when men died and Christians mourned and they fasted. There were times when God's people suffered defeat and the people went down on their face and they fasted and they withheld food from themselves. There were times when in the New Testament men would go and get ready to do something extremely important and they would fast. And fasting is associated with mourning. It's associated with confession. It's associated with humility. And what the thing is, I think, in many times with fasting, is that because we are so incredibly prone and tied to the physical, and it's just, you know, we can't help but not be, because we are physical beings too. We're spiritual beings, but we're also physical, so we can't get completely away from the physical. It's just impossible to do. But many times, the flesh is more in control of us than the spirit is. I've seen that in my life. And I know that many times my flesh is stronger than my spirit. I don't know about you, but he said, the spirit is willing. He said, but the flesh is weak. And he doesn't mean that the flesh doesn't have, he said the flesh is weak in the fact that the flesh does not have the ability to say no to itself. You know, I think that's a valuable thing. I think it's something we ought to bring back into our culture and into our society is the word no. We ought to say no. We can't say no to kids. We can't tell them no because we might ruin their motivation and we might break their psyche and we might harm them. You know, we might offend them. You know, I'm telling you, I see a bunch of brats in the public school that I wish somebody would tell them no. No, that's not right. But they're always looking for some reason why some kid did something, you know. Sometimes you don't need to ask a reason. You just, oh, you did this? Okay, fine, you know, and give them the punishment. But we really, many times, have to break that bond. And it's one of the things he says here in Isaiah. He says, is not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? You know, sometimes it's just to give your body a wake-up call. But if you fast and you don't do anything else, it's probably not going to do you any good. My suggestion is, because of this association, if you fast, then do something like humble yourself, confession of sins. I want to show you just a few places. Look at, first of all, Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 2. Let me tell you that when it comes to fasting, that Pharisee, he had it all set up. He fasted twice in the week. Certain days of the week, that was his time. He fasted, he withheld. I don't know if he compensated because he's already had it in his system and it was just a real outward thing. But, you know, I don't see anything. There is no instruction in the Bible, number one, that tells you that you must fast. Okay, that's one thing. You don't have to fast if you don't want to. There's no New Testament instruction that demands that you do it on a certain day of the week, that you do it with a particular kind of food. Some people tell me, you know, how long should I fast? You know, there's nothing in the Bible that tells you how long that a Christian ought to fast, how long he ought to go. There's really no set rule in the Bible. And so sometimes Christians may get misunderstood and they say, okay, well, because there's no set rule, it's because God did not tell me specifically to do this one thing that I'm not going to do it now. And so there's a lot of Christians that don't practice it and don't do it at all. But I'm here to say that even though there is no set rule, even though there is no command that in the church, church-wide, that we have to practice these things, I personally think it's a pretty good spiritual discipline and it's profitable to do, and you ought to consider it. Now, you don't have to, but just look at these things. Look at Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 2. Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 2. And this is Jesus in the wilderness. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, and then he goes into this, into battling the devil here. But Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days. And so this was a point, and I don't know if it's even possible for us to fast 40 days. I guess it could be. But and I'm not suggesting you go that long, but he went specifically and withheld food from his body for 40 days. And after that, the Bible says that he was tempted of the devil. We're to follow in his steps. We're to emulate him. And Jesus not only withheld food from himself at times, there were times when he withheld sleep. There were times when instead of sleeping in the night, he stayed up all night to pray. In fact, his disciples couldn't keep up. They were just human, you know, they went to sleep. And it wasn't like it didn't affect him. Afterwards, the Bible said, Jesus was hungry. And so you thought, well, you know, what's the sense of this? He's going, he could have ate any time he wanted, but he voluntarily chose to withhold food from himself. You know what? I'm telling you something. It might be a good idea if you're having a tremendous amount of trouble with a particular temptation. It might be a good idea to kind of shake things up a little bit and decide, you know what? I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to humble myself before the Lord. And I am going to withhold food from my body. And I'm going to seek God's face. I'm going to tell my body it doesn't command me and it doesn't tell me what to do. Not that the fasting itself is going to bring you, but I think that it could be profitable here. In Daniel in chapter 9 and verse 3. So that's Jesus. Jesus fasted. In Daniel in chapter 9 back up to verse 2, and in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, and he's getting ready to confess sin here. You know, I preached a while back on this idea of sin and how so often we don't take sin very seriously, and especially in our own lives. And there was a point in time where Daniel understood some things and he saw some things concerning his people and concerning himself. And he set himself to withhold everything and he decided he was going to fast. And I'm telling you, there may be some times when sin has such a hold on you and you can't seem to break it that you might just want to put the plate away and withhold some things from yourself, you know, fast from some things, fast from your food, maybe fast from your television set, maybe fast from some pleasure that you have, maybe fast from those things that have you so caught and so enamored, and shut them out of your lives for a certain portion of time so that maybe you might be able to confess your sins and seek the Lord. You don't have to, mind you. But Daniel found it necessary to do that. Look at Matthew in chapter 17. That's a great praying prophet of the Old Testament thought that it was profitable to fast. Jesus Christ thought it was profitable to fast. Look at Matthew in chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 21. Actually, back up. They tried to cast out a devil. They were unsuccessful. They came to Jesus and they said, man, how is this that we couldn't do this when you said we could? And in verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. This particular devil doesn't go out, but by prayer and fasting. You know, I wonder if sometimes one of our problems for not getting closer to the Lord, not being more pleasing in His sight, not being more spiritual, is that things come a little too easy for us. Think that maybe that might be the case? That maybe we're like some of these kids around, you know, we're spoiled brats. God's always given us everything we've ever needed, and when we don't get it, all of a sudden, instead of being thankful for what we do have, we're whining and crying for what He hadn't given us. You know, we're wondering why He's given us so much, and then we wonder why He hasn't given us more, you know, and He's blessed us with so incredible things that we didn't work for, that we didn't get. Let me tell you something. I didn't work and struggle to get the truth that I've got. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't come up with these doctrines here. I wasn't the one who sat down at night and prayed and sought God's face and went through my Bible and found Him. You know what happened to me? Somebody came one day and gave me an invitation, and I saw a little sign on a barracks window to come to a Bible study, and they started giving me the Word of God. I started getting a little bit of interested, and before long, I called on the Lord and got saved, and there were people that started to begin to teach me. You know, I didn't choose. I didn't look out over all the churches in America and say, you know what, that Oak Knoll, that's the best church to go to. It's doctrinally sound. Some of you have, but I didn't. The people that were discipling me and led me to the Lord went to this church. So, boom, here I come, you know. And I began to learn good doctrine here. I began to learn incredible truth. In fact, I got to go and be a pastor without having to go through seminary. Except that I did graduate 2 years from the Elder Seminary in San Antonio. That was pretty cool. But I didn't have to go 4 years to a Bible college. I didn't have to do all these things, you know. There were men here that said, you know what, you want to be a pastor? That's what God called you to do. Let's get in and do the work. It was given to me. It wasn't hard. It was handed to me. It was like the Lord just handed me spiritual truth, handed me a ministry, and it wasn't hard. I didn't have to struggle a tremendous amount. And the danger with that is you can minimize that. You can think that it's maybe a little bit cheaper. And so sometimes when we get things without struggle, He says, this kind, it doesn't come out, but by prayer and fasting. I'm going to tell you what fasting will teach you is it'll teach you that not everything's easy. That there are some things that you don't get but by struggle. That there are some demons that don't come out except by prayer and fasting. This idea that all you have to do is strike your hand and speak the name of Jesus and everything's going to go away. No, that's not the case. Paul had to approve himself as a minister, sometimes in trials, in scourging, sometimes in beating, sometimes in shipwrecks, and all these other things that he went through. Tremendous, tremendous trial and struggle to get this original church started. So I'm not saying you got to fast, and I got a lot more, of course, to say about fasting. But what I'm saying is I'm looking through the Scriptures, and I do see a lot of spiritual benefit when you fast and pray, when you fast and humble yourself, when you fast and confess your sins. And I know by personal experience, we had some men down in León, they were struggling. They were preaching a couple of years. And a bunch of us went down, and I was lucky enough they invited me to go down too, and I went down, and for 3 days we shut ourselves in this little Indian village, and we did nothing but fast and pray and seek God's face. And I'm telling you, there were no thunderbolts in that prayer meeting. There were no great inspirational visions, you know, of revival or anything like that. But it was a couple of guys that decided that they wanted to see something, and they weren't demanding God, that God had to do this because we set ourselves apart to fast and pray, but they were praying that God would do it. They were seeking God's face, and they fasted and prayed, and it wasn't long after that that things began to turn around in León. Now, you can say that there was no association, but I'm convinced today there was an association with the people of God humbling themselves and with God moving in their lives. And many times God can't move in us because we're too proud, we're too haughty, we're too satisfied, we're too pampered. So fasting and praying, yeah, it does some good. There's no command for it, but I would say that if you're overcome with sin, if you've hit a spiritual roadblock somewhere, then it might be a good idea to maybe put the taco down and pick up the Bible and fast and pray and seek the Lord and tell your body no, that it can't have what it wants because there's something more important than the physical that you want, and then seek God for it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this lesson. Lord, help us to take some of these things and put them into our lives and be better for it. Bless the preaching hour coming up, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.